Matthew chapter 19, verse 1, And it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee, and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? So he left Galilee, he's come to the borders, coasts of Judea, beyond Jordan. So on the, I assume that means on the other side of Jordan, the east side. And all these people are following him, and he's healing them. And the Pharisees also come, and they're tempting him. And this almost is hard to believe, because you think, well, he's doing all these miracles. What's wrong with these people? Why do they continue to doubt? Why are they trying to catch him in his words with questions? You know, they ask a question not to get an answer, but rather to try to find fault with him. And it's like an obsession. You know, we'll find some way in which we can say this guy is wrong. They always want to find some sort of fault. And there's people like this today, to this day. And I feel like I have to deal with it sometimes, because people, like, when you come out against a particular ministry or something like that, or you come out saying something with a particular doctrine, and people are not happy with it, they're going to question and try to find out some way to get under your skin, to get under your armor, so to speak. Wants to find some sort of fault. But you would think, oh, well, with the miracles, you know, that they would be like, well, you know, we shouldn't fight against this. Why should we tempt this man? He's got all this power from God. You know, he that can heal in the name of God can also kill. And they don't seem to fear. But I, you know, there's a lot, you can write it off to the blindness. You can write it off to the wisdom that was hidden from them. You can write it off to a number of things. And also to human nature, because I think that, you know, they were superstitious people. Religious. And they believed the healings. But to them, it could be a devil. It could be devilish, this healing. You know, like a witch doctor or something like that. You know, I mean, and from their perspective, just because he heals doesn't mean he's of God. But they're wrong. God sent these works that he would do them to testify that God was with him. I think it's interesting, though, that in the book of Revelation, there's another man who's going to come doing miracles, calling down fire from heaven. And this time there are going to be people, and there are going to be great multitudes following him. And there'll be but a few who will not believe him. Except this time, the multitudes are going to turn on those who speak against the miracle worker. And it's so interesting to me that in that case, the miracles are testifying of one thing. Whereas in Christ's case, it was testifying of something else. No man can do these miracles except God be with him. And again... You see the miracles in Revelation? Oh, God is with him. With him to deceive. With him to destroy. To give him power over the nations. To crush. Dismantle. Destroy. Oh, indeed. Power of God will be strong with the false Christ. Because where else does he get the power? Was he got a separate storage unit of power? A separate source of power? Someplace where the divine power is going to come from that isn't from God? In the book of Revelation, it says he has authority to do all manner of wonders, lying, you know, the wonders of a lie, with all miracles and signs and lying wonders. It's not that the wonders aren't real. It's that there's lies in it. That's why Jesus, in part, I think, why he says, a wicked generation seeks after a sign. This generation, the last generation when it comes, will receive signs. But they will not recognize them any more than the ones in Jesus' day did, except for those whom God had chosen. The question is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? But to me, like I said, the fact that there's still, you know, this contrast of the multitudes and the miracles and the Pharisees and the questions is so fascinating. God has truly hidden from their eyes what Christ was. And I'm going to draw this out a little more. Why did they reject Christ? Because of what they think they knew. They thought they knew something about the way Messiah should be. So they rejected him. And he came in a way that they did not expect. In the end times, the false Christ is going to come in a different characteristic of a ministry. You know, he says, if I come in my own, Jesus said, I come in the name of my Father, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. The Son of Man came in humility. This one will come in much pride. I am God. Bow down and worship me. And people will obey. But there will be some who will not obey. For much the same reasons the Pharisees don't obey. Because they think they know something. Because they think God has revealed something to them that teaches them something a little different. That they should not receive another gospel, though an angel from heaven should preach it. And it's a very, you know, to me, this is so like the Lord to turn it around like that. What seems like, okay, this is how we should receive God. After looking, see, they look at the examples of the gospels and they think, okay, well, we won't make that mistake again. Well, that's not going to be the test again. It's going to come a little different. This time, have your vessels full of oil. This time, it's going to be different. Let's get on to the question. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife. And they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. They say unto him,